Chapter 16, Merit Festival, 7. Leo's eyes narrowed as he observed the queen's self-righteous posture and forceful words. She had remained silent this entire time, not speaking a single word as titles were handed out to the various forces of the continent, as if they were candy. However, the moment somebody crossed her bottom line, she acted. With no more than a few lines, she had shifted the entire mood. Zeke's arguments had been based on rules and regulations. Technically, he had the right to demand exactly what he did. She couldn't match him in a battle of technicalities, so the queen hadn't even tried. Instead, she had shifted the topic completely, from rules to sentiment. Now, the question wasn't so much whether Zeke had the right to do as he suggested, but whether he had the moral justification. It was a cowardly escape, but its effectiveness was clear. For the first time today, Leo realized the true purpose of holding the bestowal ceremony so openly. It wasn't only so the public could witness the glory of their new lords, but to turn them into a weapon against those very lords, if necessary. Leo looked at the queen, who was staring down at Zeke from her high throne, with a victorious glint in her eyes. He had to admit that he had underestimated her. She must have realized long ago that Zeke wouldn't simply accept her slights and provocations forever, and had prepared her own countermeasures. She was no herbivore, that much was clear. Meanwhile, the discontent in the crowd had reached a fever pitch. Many were outright yelling and screaming that they would not stand for this, that these demands were unacceptable, and that his brother was twisting the queen's words to take advantage of the situation. Leo shook his head inwardly. The common citizens were far too easily manipulated. With just this much, they had unhesitatingly turned on their savior, unaware of how much they actually owed him. While they had been hiding in their holes, it was the Hohenheim company that had stood before the Legion's most elite armies and blocked their advance. It was they who had taken the field when the combined might of Rukia's armies faltered. And it was Ezekiel von Hohenheim who had endured the Legion's flames with his own body to stall them for even a second longer. But now, with the dust settled, they had suddenly decided that the way he wanted to spend his merit was unfair, that he was taking advantage of them, that Rukia meant nothing to him. Leo felt his blood boil as he overheard some of the things the crowd was yelling. Now, there were even calls to strip Zeke of his merit, and some demanded that he be exiled or punished for his greed. Before he even realized he was doing it, Leo's hands had balled into fists, and he found himself glaring at the crowd through gritted teeth. In stark contrast, Zeke's expression remained as casual as before. He endured the concentrated storm of abuse as if it were nothing. None of the words, no matter how vile, managed to cause even a ripple across his face. The queen, on the other hand, grew more and more satisfied as the crowd's outrage mounted and Zeke remained silent. Then, just as some in the crowd began pushing toward the stage, Zeke finally acted. He raised his right hand, palm out, and spoke a single word. Silence. Leo felt a tingle race down his spine, and the hairs on his arms stood straight. There was something in that word, in that tone, in that voice, that bypassed all rational thought and struck the most primitive part of his hindbrain. His heart began to race as adrenaline coursed through his veins, and all his thoughts were suddenly reduced to fight or flight. The crowd had it even worse. There was not a single person who could still move. It was to the point that a gathering of statues would have seemed more relaxed. They stood frozen in whatever posture they had been in, some with their mouths open, others with their arms raised in mid-gesture. Even on the stage, nobody had been spared. The archmages were the least affected, but even they wore grave expressions as they exchanged wary glances. Meanwhile, Zeke barely acknowledged the state everyone was in. He slowly lowered his hand and returned his attention to the queen. Your words ring true, O Queen of Rukia. His voice was the only sound in this frozen world.
All of this is, in fact, nothing but a game to me. Leo's eyes widened. Instead of using this chance to defend himself and counter the queen's words, his brother doubled down on them.
Your titles and lands, your honors and merits, everything and anything are nothing but an amusing little play in my eyes. Silence. Absolute silence greeted that announcement. Leo suspected that the crowd wouldn't have known how to react even if they hadn't still been trapped in a state of shock.
You...
The queen stammered, her voice nearly breaking as she struggled to regain her bearing.
You still dare to set your eyes on our lands despite viewing the people with such contempt?
Zeke's brows rose. The people? When did I say that? No, no, no. It is not the people I hold in contempt, Your Majesty, but you, personally. The queen's mouth dropped open, but no words came out. It must have been the first time anyone had ever called her out like that, and it had happened in front of all her citizens, no less. Zeke continued as if he hadn't even noticed her reaction. You dare claim that I did not act with the people's interests at heart? That I deprived them of the defenders they rightfully deserve and claimed more land than I should?
Are matters not exactly so?
The queen asked. Zeke shook his head. The people's best interest, he repeated slowly, is to live under a lord who values them, cherishes them, and protects them. A lord who can ensure that the people have work, full bellies, and a bright future. For a moment, everyone's eyes hung on Zeke's lips. Even Leo found himself drawn in by the utopian picture. But that lasted only until his brother spoke his next words. And I have given you exactly such a lord. As one, all eyes turned to Leo. Their gazes felt like millions of tiny needles pricking him all over. Leo did his best to endure, but he could feel sweat beating on his brow.
What nonsense, the queen interjected. Your brother might be a fine man, but he is nothing like the ruler you describe.
Leo didn't even feel insulted. He very much agreed with her on that point. Most of the others also had doubt written all over their faces. Only Zeke was different. He looked straight at Leo and smiled. My brother, he said, your new lord is exactly the person I have described. Words are cheap, Lord Hohenheim, the queen said. Zeke turned back to face her. Then, instead of words, let us look at the facts, shall we? The queen's brows furrowed, but she didn't interject. After the war ended, Zeke said, you, Your Majesty, were quick to send word that you expected me to return your soldiers. Thousands whom I rescued from prison were delivered straight to your doorstep. At your explicit request, I returned them all. The princes you named, the archmages, even Irison. Zeke paused for a moment, allowing the words to sink in. But do you know who you never asked for? Zeke looked the queen dead in the eyes, and there was a cold glint in his gaze that Leo hadn't often seen. The orphans. Not once have you mentioned them. Not once have you asked what became of them. Not once have you inquired about their treatment. For all you know, he continued, I could have abandoned them in the wilds to fend for themselves. Leo's fists, which had only just relaxed, balled up again. He hadn't known about this. He hadn't realized that the children had been treated with such apathy, not only by most of the higher-ups, but even by the queen herself. The queen, for her part, pressed her lips into a firm line, unable to say anything. Naturally, that didn't happen. Zeke continued. Do you want to know what happened instead? The queen didn't answer, but Zeke continued anyway. When the war ended, and you ordered me to return all your men, the children were left without a carer. It was then that my brother stepped in. From morning to night, he cared for them. He nurtured them. He protected them. He made sure they had food, clothing, and games to play. Leo felt his balled fists slowly relax. And today, while all of us were playing our little power games, vying for territory and preparing our schemes, my brother alone went outside the city to fetch hundreds of forgotten children, just so they could enjoy themselves for a time. Just so they would not miss the festival. Just so they could forget their sorrows for a moment. In the silence that followed, many of the eyes still fixed on Leo changed subtly. There was still doubt, but now there seemed to be a modicum of respect as well. Leo didn't care about that. His gaze was on the children. They were looking up at him from the front row with tearful eyes.
Many were crying outright. Leo did his best to smile at them, but it felt as if something had become lodged in his throat, and his nose began to sting as well. "It is as you said, Your Majesty. All of this is just a game to me," Zeke reiterated. "I have no choice but to think that way. As a merchant lord, weighing costs and benefits is second nature to me." He gave her a pointed look. "As it is for a queen." The queen lowered her eyes slightly, not arguing back. "But my brother is different. He alone came to your land before anyone had offered a reward. He came not for profit, but to save you. All of you." His final words were directed at the crowd, and Leo saw more than one of them flinch, not out of fear, but from the sting of remembering how they had just behaved, what they had said. "So, you will have to excuse my petty tricks, Your Majesty," Zeke said slowly. "But I will continue to fight with everything I have. Yes, I will continue to twist your words. And yes, I will use every trick at my disposal to wring out every last drop of profit I can." Zeke grinned wildly. "And I will do so in good conscience because, in my heart of hearts, I know that every last acre of land, every last tree or rock I manage to claim today, will have the privilege of being ruled over by the finest lord this country will ever see."